I definitely appreciate your music. Thank you for being here as our organist. The reading is taken from Acts of the Apostles, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Now the apostles and the brothers and sisters who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why do you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I would hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Here ends the reading of the good news. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, may nothing else get in the way as you speak your word to our hearts. Amen. Have you ever been called to the principal's office? I'm not talking about being called to the principal's office for an award for perfect attendance or outstanding academic success. I'm talking about being called to the principal's office because you were summoned. You were summoned for something you did or for something you ought to have done. That must have been how Peter felt. He was summoned to the church leaders of Jerusalem, the supreme headquarters of the early church. Peter packed his bags and headed up to Jerusalem. Once Peter arrived, the church leaders had a few questions they wanted to ask Peter. Peter, who was a Jew, knew the rules for Jews. A Jew ate only kosher foods. A Jew ate foods that were from an acceptable list of animals that were considered clean, and not from other animals that were considered unclean. A Jew ate a meal either by himself or with other Jews, but not with Gentiles. For a Jew in this world, there were other Jews, and anyone else was a Gentile. Jewish men were those who followed the laws of Moses, washing their hands before every meal to be ceremonially clean. Jewish men were those who were circumcised, distinguishing them from other men, other Gentile men. Gentile men and women were considered unclean or outsiders. Peter broke the laws of Moses by eating with uncircumcised men, men that were considered by Jews to be unclean. Peter does not deny the charge. Instead, he tells them how he had a vision. In this vision, he sees various animals considered unclean by the laws of Moses. In this vision, he is told, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter says he will not. Nothing profane or unclean has ever entered his mouth. The voice in the vision said, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Or to say it another way, what God says is clean, is clean. This scenario is repeated three times. Then Gentile men arrive where Peter was staying, and the Spirit told Peter to go with them, even though they were not Jews. Six Jews went with Peter as witnesses. The Spirit comes upon these Gentiles, and now they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter looks to those who summoned him to Jerusalem, and he is about to speak about being with the Gentiles. Remember, Gentiles were the outsiders. And Peter said, "Who was I that I could hinder God?" When the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem heard Peter, they were silent. Then the leaders of the Jerusalem church began to praise God, believing God had offered life even to the Gentiles by Jesus. That these men had a change of heart, I consider that a miracle in the early church. This thing that Peter did went against everything these religious leaders had been taught. This acceptance of the Gentiles meant that all of us in this room who were not Jews, were now welcomed into the church. Let me repeat that. The acceptance of the Gentiles meant that all of us in this room who are not Jews were now welcomed into the church. I believe this kind of miracle continues in the church. Hearts that are changed, perhaps from everything we have been taught to believe, or taught in school, or taught in our families as true. Hearts that are changed to include others in the kingdom of God or the realm of God. Once, a retired Presbyterian pastor came back to church one Sunday after the death of his wife. Instead of coming to the 11 o'clock service, where he and his wife attended, he came to the earlier 9 o'clock service. He thought there would be people he would know, people he could sit with, but he misjudged by coming 15 minutes early. He sat alone in the center pew, two empty pews behind him and three empty pews in front of him. He sat alone, a brave, sad, and solitary man. But then the miracle happened. Bob and Nita slid out of their pew six rows behind and quietly moved down the aisle and sat beside him. Two Presbyterians had left their pew to move down closer to the front. A Presbyterian colleague of mine called this a Presbyterian miracle. That miracle could not only happen in a Presbyterian church, but also in this church. Not because we must sit in other areas. The miracle could happen whenever we move from our unofficial assigned seats, showing compassion, nurture, and love for another. Another miracle in the church happened with Sister Anne. Sister Anne, a physician and poet who lived, loved, and died in El Salvador, Once, while working in a neonatal intensive care unit, she struggled hard to save a 5-inch premature baby named Tomika. The girl's life was always going to be in the hospital, fated to die, unable to thrive, bereft possibility. Tomika smiled once, cupped in Sister Anne's hands, after a week of being held, caressed, and gazed upon. Then Tomika died. Sister Anne, with the help of John, a generous funeral director, buried the little baby. John, the funeral director, protested to Sister Anne that it all felt so meaningless and bleak. John said, "What on earth did Tomika ever have?" "Well," said Sister Anne, "she had the power to evoke love from me." The second miracle is when we become more and more like the image of God, to become so vulnerable as to be moved to nurture, to care, and to love another. Yes, we could do that. The third miracle I want to share is when we truly receive another, opening our arms wide to another, welcoming them into the church. It's not an easy thing to do in the era of the current administration. Think about it. We live in a world that divides people up by zip codes or economic influence, but we don't stop there. We know how to divide people by their high school or college education. Shamefully, we divide people up as male or female or other. We divide people up as an infant, toddler, child, youth, adolescent, young adult, middle-aged, retired, and really tired. We can divide people by race, by religion, by political beliefs. And don't get me started on these political television commercials that divide people, telling us how many so-called illegals have been deported. We divide people up as those who vaccinate and those who don't. Why, some of us are old enough to remember when you came to a restaurant, you were divided by your preference of smoking or non-smoking. We know how to divide, subgroup, split, divorce, and dissect. The miracle is when the church can come together for the good of being one community. When we gather for worship, or those special times of a baptism, or a wedding, or a funeral, we gather to support, care, and love, which goes completely contrary to the natural order of this world. The challenge for us is to recognize who in the world would you have trouble welcoming into the church? Who is that someone that goes contrary to everything you have been taught, whether in the church, your community, or your family? Someone you might even consider unclean by everything you understand or have experienced. That, my friends, was the miracle of including the Gentiles, the outcast, in the church. Peter pointed to his vision from God and welcomed all into the church who were considered outcast. May we welcome those many in this world would exclude. May we be brave enough to show compassion, mercy, grace, and love to those considered unclean. May we welcome those considered by this world to be helpless and hopeless, showing all a better way and a sense of hope. May we show others the love of Jesus that leads to life, life for all. Amen.